So we pick up now where we left off this morning, and obviously we would urge anyone who hears a recording of this message to be sure and listen to the first part of it first, which is going to, of course, end up being much longer, the first part, than the second. So there's so much documentation for what we've been saying with regard to Billy Graham's ministry, Unfaithful Ministry, that they ought to hear that first part. We want to move now to Billy Graham's betrayal of Christ and the persecuted church in the Soviet Union. He took his first trip to the Soviet Union in 1982. He was invited by the communist government. Well, of course, the tyrants would want him there. Now, Ronald Reagan, the president, feared that this was going to be used for propaganda purposes, and of course, that was the whole point of inviting Graham, for propaganda purposes. Because, of course, the Soviet Union kept a state church. They could not crush the Church of Jesus Christ. They did not want to have a state church. That wouldn't have been their first plan or their first choice. They would have ideally just crushed all Christianity. That they could not do. And so what they did is they, as other communist states have done, out of necessity, they created this state-registered church, which was under the control of the communist government. And, of course, Christ was not the head of that church. The communist tyrants were the head of that church. And these ministers had to toe the line and take care what they did preach about and so on and so forth. There were restrictions, and they registered all the people, and so they could keep an eye on everyone. Well, of course, there was a free church, an underground church that was not always so underground at times either. And sometimes certain ones that were being hunted, of course, went underground. They were all to some extent underground, but I'm just saying they were quite bold in their witness at times as well. Now, Billy Graham went on to make other trips to Russia and Soviet bloc nations as well. And so he was invited to preach in the state church where the communists, of course, had this propaganda tool, that being the state church, to convince the world that, yes, indeed, there is religious freedom in the Soviet Union. And, this is very important, to entice other Christians to compromise, others that were not yet in the state church. Come into the state church. Come into the state church. You can still worship the Lord. Just come, register, let the state be the head of the church instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to certain compromises that, well, you'll still be able to go to heaven, won't you? Graham was also invited to preach in Orthodox churches, which were also state churches. Now, the persecuted church didn't want him to come. They made that known. They did not want Billy Graham to come. Why would they want him to come? Reverend Graham could have and should have listened to the voice of the faithful suffering church behind the Iron Curtain, who overcame the devil by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and because they loved not their life unto the death. He could have listened to them and refused the invitation from the communists, the invitation to be used as a propaganda tool. Rather, Billy Graham, with all of his worldwide influence, and including with presidents and potentates and multitudes of everyday people, rather, Billy Graham should have used his voice and his name to speak out for the persecuted church behind the Iron Curtain, refuse the invitation before the whole world, make it very clear that he would not be used as a propaganda tool for the communists. He wasn't needed there. There was a gospel witness, soaked in blood, yes, but it's a gospel witness. And that's what made it so powerful. Because there were the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and because they loved not their life unto the death. It was there. But you see, Billy Graham could have used his voice and his name to speak out for the persecuted church behind the Iron Curtain, but his ambition and his ego and his almost Messiah-like complex did not allow it. Now, I can almost hear a gasp of breath from some who are Billy Graham supporters, Messiah-like complex. What do I mean by that? I mean he seemed to have the opinion that this suffering church, this faithful church behind the Iron Curtain, preaching the gospel, making their stand, it was him they needed. They needed him. if he could only go over there and preach his, quote, simple gospel message, unquote, that's what is needed. Well, they didn't need him. They didn't want him. He did nothing but harm. I want to just read an article. Now, a report on this visit. Now, Reverend Graham, let's state it plainly. He played the Judas out of his egocentric opinion that the Soviet Union needed him, his preaching. And he apparently just had nothing but disdain then for the faithful preaching and evangelizing and stand of the suffering free church of the Soviet Union, faithful to Christ, the head of the church, and to the word of God, all of it. I say disdain. Well, he showed it during his visit as well. First, he wouldn't listen to their pleas, don't come, as some got those pleas out. And then he wouldn't even mention a witness that was there that he saw. And further, he said on his trip back, I saw no persecution in the Soviet Union. Well, of course you saw no persecution on your orchestrated tour through state churches and state Orthodox churches and so forth. But this is the New York Times. It's a special to the New York Times back in 1982 where, you know, we can see where as we read this and we collaborate the facts with other, with reliable sources, it's accurate. Moscow, May 9th. The Reverend Billy Graham preached his message of disarmament and Christian rebirth at a tightly guarded Baptist church here today, while outside 250 Christians sang hymns from behind police barricades or barriers. The 1,000 ticket holders who squeezed into the Moscow Church of Evangelical Christian Baptists, this is the state church, including a sizable number of foreigners, reporters, and security officers, heard Mr. Graham inveigh against atomic weapons, which he said had put man at the gate of hell and give a spiritual appeal for a recommitment to Christ. Now, you notice there were a lot of reporters there. Mr. Graham should have said, I don't want any reporters. We don't need reporters. Bring more people in. But he wanted reporters. And, of course, Soviet Union wanted them too. But he has since his arrival here Friday, Mr. Graham stayed clear of any references to religious freedom in this officially atheistic nation or other topics potentially offensive to the Soviet authorities. At one point in his sermon, he said, Jesus gave man, quote, now, understand, he's in the workers' paradise, the communist workers' paradise. That's what they call it. Understand, and as you well know, he's standing behind the Iron Curtain in the center of this nation, the capital of this nation, where there's so much persecution. And understand that the communists, if they used any part of the Bible, would use Romans 13 and misuse it to try to tell Christians, you should obey. When we tell you not to do this, that, or whatever, you should obey. You should join the straight church as well so we can register you, make sure you obey. At one point in his sermon, he said, Jesus gave man, quote, the power to be a better worker, a loyal citizen. I'll put that in the context of what I just said. In that context, it's communist propaganda. After he finished his 30-minute sermon, which is translated into Russian by an interpreter, a young woman unfurled a large banner from a side balcony in the church saying, we have more than 150 prisoners for the work of the gospel. The reverence was evidently to Baptists serving terms, and there were others as well, other evangelicals, in labor camps for religious activities. After the service, the young woman was led to by a plainclothesman into a side room, and her fate was not immediately known. Mr. Graham seemed not to notice the banner and told reporters later he did not have a chance to read it. Well, it's not too late to comment on it, is it? Well, he didn't comment. Mr. Graham made no effort to approach a large knot of Christians outside the church at one end of the sealed-off street 50 yards from the entrance. They had begun gathering early in the morning in the hope of at least catching a glimpse of the American preacher who is immensely popular among Soviet evangelical Christians. I don't think the New York Times really understanding things. He wasn't immensely popular among faithful Christians. And it goes, he made no effort to approach them because he was told, you stay away from them. Everything has to be controlled by us. I'll just skip down. The group was closely watched by clusters of uniformed policemen, plainclothesmen, and members of the Komsomol, the Young Communist League. Shortly after Mr. Graham arrived at the church by limousine, those outside began to sing hymns, and they continued without interruption until he left 90 minutes later. Although public demonstrations of faith are rarely tolerated in the Soviet Union, the police made no serious effort to stop the singing. Well, they wouldn't, not with all the reporters around. After the Baptist service, Mr. Graham went to the Russian Orthodox Patriarchal Cathedral, where Patriarch Pimen, I don't know which it is, spiritual head of the Russian church, officiated at a liturgy attended by many of the delegates to what is called the World Conference of Religious Workers for Saving the Sacred Gift of Life from Nuclear Catastrophe, which Mr. Graham is here to attend. In comments at the end of the service, Patriarch Pimen underscored Mr. Graham's status as the most prestigious participant at the conference. See what influence he had? Which is expected to endorse the Soviet government's position on nuclear arms control. He described the American as an outstanding preacher. I don't want to get into the political issues here, but the Soviet government's position on nuclear arms control was not our position on nuclear arms control. In reply, Mr. Graham noted that the Soviet Union was marking the 37th anniversary of victory over Nazi Germany. And he said, I want to remind you that the United States and Soviet Union were allies at the time against a common enemy. We have another common enemy, the possibility of nuclear war, so said the man that never gets involved in politics, except when it pays for him to get involved in politics. Because I've heard him use that excuse when questioned about certain things having to do with morality and things where situation where, well, what about homosexuals? What about this? What about that? And I've seen him beg off on some of those things. Now, CBS Evening News, May 9th, 1982. Let me quote from this. I watched it. I put it down, transcribed it. While preaching in Orthodox Cathedral, I'm taking part of it. Graham said he came to Russia for three reasons. Here's the three reasons he came. To learn how we could have more fellowship with each other, better relations between our nations, and make our contribution to peace. That's why he was there. And his brand of more fellowship with others is supporting the state-licensed church, betraying the true church, and cozying up the communists and doing what they tell him to do. Also from that CBS report, one of Graham's staff, when asked about whether Graham would speak out against the persecution of Christians in the Soviet Union, said the evangelist would not because, quote, he was conducting a quiet campaign and will not speak out against persecution. He will remain silent in hope that he will be invited back to the Soviet Union, unquote. Do I have to even comment on that? Those are the words of a Judas, an egocentric Judas. I want to be invited back to the Soviet Union. I'm not going to do anything to upset the apple cart. Reporters all over. Look at the prestige. It's just, in a taped explanation to criticism, which I also watched, Billy Graham said he knew he would be criticized for going, but he turned to the scriptures then. And he remembered that, I'm quoting him, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not just in capitalist countries and countries like ours. I have news for Billy Graham. He knew full well the gospel was being preached. You don't subvert the gospel. You don't betray the persecuted church. You don't go into a situation and not speak out when you should speak out and then say, well, I can do this. I can go into that corrupt situation or that forbidden situation, for that matter, have fellowship with about anyone as long as I, quote, preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We hear that today. Others have learned well from him. For instance, I've done reports on Dr. Joel Beakey out of a conviction I had to. They're on our internet site, of course. That's the excuse he uses to preach with and have preaching and teaching fellowship with Orthodox, Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, so-called gay Christians. At the one event, Yes, there was one of those, and he was speaking on why one can be both. Evolutionists, I mean, the list, I'm not even coming close to it. But why? I'll go anywhere to preach the gospel. That's what I do. I'm a gospel preacher. Well, the Lord is the judge of that. And we know from the Word what the judgment is. Also in the CBS report, I'm sorry. This is in Graham's taped explanation as to why he went to Russia. I also want to become better acquainted with the situation of Christians in the Soviet Union, which I think is often misunderstood by Americans. Well, 1982. Let's see. 1982, I was 31 years old. I kept track of, I wasn't a Christian yet, but I really was up on geopolitics. I was very interested in everything having to do with it. I didn't misunderstand it, and I wasn't even a Christian. I knew they were persecuting Christians and political dissidents, and it was in the news. It was well known that what was going on. But I guess we didn't understand it. Not really. Billy Graham, he said he didn't see any persecution in the Soviet Union. I guess we had been duped or something. And then also, from that taped explanation by Billy Graham, as is well known, of course, the Soviet system, now he's an American, he's saying this, is atheistic ideology, and, note this well, at times, religious believers have faced great difficulties and even persecution. Now, I want to stop right there. When he went over in 1982, that was not the time of Lenin, for instance. And there were those in the communist government, if you follow the history, you know, it's all Lenin, 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 and suddenly, no, Lenin, we don't think Lenin was right. No, no, no. And now it's, you know, Stalin, and now it's Khrushchev, and now there were various winds, political winds, and ideologies within the communist ideology, and the man that was a hero one day might be a zero the next, so to speak. And so when he says, at times, that was for the Soviet Union, their ears, the communist tyrants' ears. They could tolerate that much, being as he was in America now. And then he said also this, at this dangerous hour in history, I also prayed that in some way unknown to me at that time, that God would use us in bringing a, quote, better understanding between our countries. In what way? What was there to understand? I mean, you don't make compromise with tyranny. You resist. But that was his taped explanation. As I say, he made a number of trips to the Soviet Union and various Soviet bloc countries, always in the state churches and the Orthodox churches and the official state, the evangelical state church. Now, he was invited, just jumping ahead to 88 now, because he made various trips. Graham was invited to take part in the 1988 millennial observance of the Russian Orthodox Church. And he did take part as a speaker, as a preacher, as a propagandist. Now, he had already preached in Roman or Russian Orthodox cathedrals earlier, but now he's for this big observation or observance, and he is part of the honored guest, part of the whole observation. He is a featured speaker, maybe the featured speaker. He took part in the celebration, we're told, as we read of it, as a guest of honor of the Orthodox Church with ranking government officials and Orthodox clergy in Moscow. And by the way, you do know about the Orthodox Church. I know you do. I've spoken of it to you. And I have watched videos or films, it would be, of Graham preaching in these churches. And when he's making his points, what are the people doing? They're doing this, the sign of the cross, you see. And yet they're Christians. And while he was there, he had a warm meeting, quote unquote, with the head of the Council for Religious Affairs. That's the persecutors in charge of persecuting Christians. He preached in state churches and in Orthodox churches, which were state churches. He preached in, for instance, St. Vladimir Cathedral in Kiev, the Metropolitan Vilayet. I know I'm not pronouncing it right. Reading from a report on this, a news report, the Metropolitan was, quote, and that's a level of their clergy, quote, resplendent in a red and gold robe and a mitre. And he stood at his side, Graham's, throughout the sermon, symbolizing the church's approval of the evangelist's message. How can that be? Well, because it was Billy Graham. He didn't preach the whole council, the Word of God, what was needed. He also, while in Kiev, he attended an outdoor dedication service at the Monastery of the Caves, a highly revered site where there were monks dwelling at one time. Now, I want to read to you from Ancient Faith Publication. Ancient Faith is a department of the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. And the article is dated 11/17/2014, and it talks about Billy Graham with regard to speaking in all these Orthodox churches and so forth and their relationship with him. Billy Graham's passion, and this is the official or an official publication of then that Orthodox Church Archdiocese of North America. Billy Graham's passion for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ is not incompatible with orthodoxy. No, not as he preached it. Metropolitan Callistos Ware noted, quote, "The Orthodox have always had good cooperation with Billy Graham. When Billy Graham went to Russia, he was received by the Patriarch because he, that is Graham, worked on the principle that those who came forward to make a commitment to Christ at his preaching were handed over to the clergy of their own church." And so if it was a state Baptist or a state evangelical church or the state Orthodox church, he made sure they just stayed put. Newsweek, 2/21/18. I want to move on to something else now. I want to move right along. We've talked about Romanism. We've talked about the Orthodox Church. We've talked about the persecuted church. We could say much more, but let's move to some other issues with regard to Billy Graham. As we make the point, he was not a faithful steward as a minister of God, not a faithful steward of the Word of God. Far from it, far from it. And we've used some verses this morning that say much more than that verse even. Newsweek 2/21/18. Ask about his son's use of the phrase, this would be Franklin Graham, which has his problems as well, but when it comes to Islam, he's pretty blunt. Ask about his son's use of the phrase, quote, evil and wicked, unquote, in reference to Islam. Graham says, this is Billy, I would not say Islam is wicked and evil. I have a lot of friends who are Islamic. There are many wonderful people among them. Just let me stop there. I'm not saying there aren't any kind, nice, unfaithful Islamic members of the Islamic faith. They are not faithful members. They are fallen away, or they would be the liberals if they do not believe in jihad and so forth. But how do you stay friends with someone who is Muslim when you are, for a living, so to speak, this is what you do all the time, preach the gospel and make proper application to when it comes to false religions and so on and so forth, calling them out to seek Christ and salvation and come out of that darkness. I have a great love for them. Well, apparently not, because he won't warn what their religion is and warn them of the condemned estate. And because of that, this is what comes next from Billy Graham. I have spoken at Islamic meetings in Nigeria and in different parts of the world. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, because what he does is preach the gospel, he says. Well, Muslims invite him to preach? When asked whether he... This is another excerpt. And this was from some time back, by the way, even though the date is, it's just, because of his death. When asked whether he believes heaven will be closed to good Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, or secular people, Graham says, quote, "Those are decisions only the Lord will make. It would be foolish for me to speculate on who will be there and who won't. I believe the love of God is absolute. He said he gave his son for the whole world, and I think he loves everybody regardless of what label they have." So he said, it would be foolish for me to speculate, this great gospel preacher, on who will be there and who won't. Maybe there'll be Buddhists, Hindus. Maybe there'll be Muslims. True Muslims. I'm not going to speculate. I can't. That's up to God. Because he said he gave his son for the whole world. Billy Graham obviously doesn't take things in the full context. John 3:16, let's go through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Billy apparently didn't read further than, for God so loved the world. But even there it says that whosoever believeth in him, we know what that comprehends. And in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There is no speculation when it comes to who will be in heaven and who will not. And any gospel minister, so-called, that says it would be foolish of him to speculate with regard to the question, he is an unfaithful preacher. It's another gospel, isn't it? What happens to those who preach another gospel? Let him be accursed. And this was the only time he did such things. He was on other shows and programs. I saw some of them, secular ones, and he said similar things about Mormons and so on and so forth. But as I say, I want to just move through some things now as we come to a conclusion of these two messages, but not for a little bit yet. I want to point out something that I guess most people shy away from. We've heard that Billy Graham has been always very, very above reproach with finances. Well, yes and no. Yes, I'm not saying that he misspent funds or lied or embezzled or anything like that. I would never say that. But it's no coincidence that Billy Graham died a millionaire many, many, many times over. Now, if Billy Graham was someone other than a gospel preacher, I wouldn't even bring this up. But he was a gospel preacher. His whole living, from the time he was a very young man, came from the gospel. The Billy Graham Evangelical Association sent out fundraisers, pleas for funds to spread the gospel. And people gave sacrificially, and still do. Well, Billy Graham was drawing for many years hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in wages and benefits. I know that. Some years back, we did a bit of, I guess you'd call it a warning or an expose on Franklin Graham. And we accessed their 501c3 forms. They're readily available for the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. But also, mostly we were looking at this Samaritan's Purse. Because, I mean, that's to help the suffering, the starving, the needy, the naked, so to speak, and so on and so forth. And we saw that Franklin Graham was pulling down between his wages and his benefits. The wages were close to $500,000, if I remember right, yearly. And the benefits, it was pushing up towards $1 million, the two combined, something like $800,000 or something dollars. And that was that. Well, he was also getting paid from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association hundreds of thousands of dollars. But we saw also that Billy Graham at the time, and this was some, I don't know, time flies. Was it 8 years? Was it 10? Was it 12? Was it as much as 14? I don't know. But even so, Billy Graham was pretty old at that time, 14 years ago. Let's say it was 14 years ago. I don't think it was longer ago. And Billy Graham would have been 85 then. Well, he was putting in a 40-hour week, according to that, preaching and doing all kinds of work. And he was getting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in benefits and wages. Now, think about that. Give to spread the gospel. Give this. Is it right that, and others in his association, his co-workers, his friends, they were getting, and a number of family workers, big money. It came to millions of dollars. So of all the money that comes in, millions go off the top in these kind of wages and benefits. I'm not saying he should have lived in poverty. I'm not saying he shouldn't have had a wage that would he wouldn't have to worry about paying his bills, and he set some things aside even, and so on and so forth over the years. But it shouldn't be this. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Now, I asked someone just out of curiosity to check his latest 501c Threes are the latest for the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And the latest they found was 2014. Well, Billy Graham, at the age of 95, was supposedly putting in over 40 hours a week for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. That's what's listed. And receiving $158,976 in reported compensation, read wages, plus another $83,958 in other compensation. I mean, the man was remarkable. At age 95, he was putting in over 40 hours a week. You know, there's a stench to that. And for a gospel preacher to die with an estate worth many, many millions of dollars, yes, I don't think it's right. I really don't. I mean, all that money was given for the preaching, and he was preaching the gospel, they thought. I understand that. Ministers have to, you know, if they make their living off the gospel, they do, so to speak, as Paul said, but not a fortune off the gospel. So that's an issue, I believe. It's, you could say, not as big an issue as the other thing, but I think, you know, as you hear, Billy Graham could do no wrong. I have some questions about that. Some might criticize me for that. Well, I do what you want with it. I call it to your attention. Also, he believed in women preachers, you know. His daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, if you want to think, I won't say what I was going to say, but I was just going to speak about the horror of watching this woman preach. It's just awful. And she shouldn't be preaching, and she makes prophecies. And Billy Graham says, quote, that she is the best preacher in the family, unquote. Also, Billy Graham embraced and used Christian rock. In fact, at his funeral, which he planned, he had the rock singer Michael W. Smith sing. I don't know who else. I didn't watch the whole thing or read all about it. I know that much. Billy Graham embraced and promoted corrupt Bible translations. Billy Graham held publicly all the exceptions for abortion. I read at one point where he was asked about homosexual sin. He said, quote, it's not that bad, unquote. He says, just a sin like other sins, and quote, it's not that bad, unquote. The Bible calls it an abomination. The Bible calls it lawless. The Bible calls it filthy. The Bible calls it against nature. The Bible has much to say, but Billy Graham says it's not that bad. What about evolution? Here's an excerpt. We could say much, but an excerpt from Billy Graham, Personal Thoughts of a Public Man. I think that we have misinterpreted the scriptures many times and we've tried to make the scriptures say things they weren't meant to say. The Bible is not a book of science. Well, he's technically right. It's not a book of science. We know that. But anytime science clashes with the Bible, it's the science that is wrong. But no, the Bible's not a book of science per se. Of course not. I believe that God did create the universe. I believe that God created man. And whether it came by an evolutionary process or at a certain point he took this person or being and made him a living soul or not, does not change the fact that God created man. Whichever way God did it makes no difference as to what man is and man's relationship to God. Here again, Reverend Graham uses the gospel to subvert and betray the word of the Lord with regard to other essential truths. No, it doesn't matter. It's just his relationship to God that matters. It doesn't matter if man came from an ape or evolved. None of that matters. But he subverts the entire Bible there. God created all things, including man, in six literal 24-hour days, as is absolutely and irrefutably clear from the Word of God. For Reverend Graham to say that God may have created man by an evolutionary process over time, or for that matter, create any of the natural creation that way, is to deny and show contempt for the divine authority, inerrancy, inspiration, and preservation of the scriptures. And it is to show oneself to be a modernist and a higher critic of the scriptures, turning them into the words of erring men rather than the words of God. But here again, the new evangelicals ignore this. Because it's not the first time Graham said this. It's in this Personal Thoughts of a Public Man. He said other things publicly and to men in the world, I say, in interviews and that. And so here again, the new evangelicals just ignore, as they have for decades, the unfaithfulness of Graham and his injury to the cause of the Lord. Instead, they praise him. I will take the most well-known, as an example even, Creation Science man, Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. He posted this glowing praise of Reverend Graham after his death. God blessed his efforts. I'll read a couple of excerpts. The impact of Reverend Graham's 99 years on earth will last many years to come and into eternity. We rejoice, as I am sure his family is today, even through their sorrow, that he so faithfully served the Lord and encouraged as many as he could to submit their lives to Christ. He will surely hear his Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25, verse 23, and of course from a modern Bible translation. We would say, "O foolish Ken Ham, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." But here's where it all ends up. Here's where it ends up. And we ought not to be proud, but fear. I mean, if we begin to tolerate a little leaven in our church, in our understanding of the Lord, in those who teach us, preach to us, in our religious association, spiritual association, so forth, if we tolerate a little leaven, this is where it ends up. Billy Graham on Robert Schuller program, Hour of Power, 2008. I will read this. Billy Graham, he's asked about, "Well, what do you think God is doing in the world today?" "I think," Billy Graham says, "there's the body of Christ, which comes from all Christian groups around the world or outside the Christian groups." Now digest that for a minute. "I think that everybody who loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they are conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think they are saved and they are going to be in heaven with us, or with us in heaven." So he utterly rejects the just condemnation of all men, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and so forth, and that there is no name given under heaven by which we must be saved, and so forth. And these who have turned to the only light they have, they're saved. They may have never heard of the name of Jesus. They don't even know him, but they're members of the body of Christ. And so they're washed, they're justified, they're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God, to Billy Graham. Well, Schuller, the apostate, says, "What I hear you saying is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into a human heart and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible. Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying?" Graham, "Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that they have never seen a Bible or heard a Bible or heard about a Bible, have never heard of Jesus, but they believed in their heart that there is a God, and they've tried to live a life that was quite different from the surrounding community in which they live." Universalism. Robert Schuller, "This is fantastic. I am so thrilled to hear you say that." Of course he would be, as I say, the apostate. "There is a wideness to God's mercy." Billy Graham, "There is. There definitely is." How can that be defended? How can you say anything but, well, what does the scripture say? "Preach a gospel other than the one preached, let him be accursed." And yet, they will defend him. He was a faithful preacher of the gospel. And we say, "Who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" And maybe we should add even, when they've seen all of this, and the scriptures applied, and they still defend this man as a faithful preacher, faithful minister of Christ, maybe we should add what Stephen said to those unbelieving, hard-hearted Jews: "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And with regard to this new evangelicalism in general and ecumenism, but certainly with regard to our subject today, which has everything to do with that, Billy Graham, we've got more than one generation that's done that, who has defended him, who has embraced all of his error. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. The word of the Lord is clear. The Holy Spirit gives conviction of the word. And they resist. As your fathers do, so do ye. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Early on in Reverend Graham's ministry, he willingly, knowingly introduced the leaven of error into his ministry. He had to know. But his ambition, his ego, whatever it was, he introduced it. And his whole ministry was very quickly leavened with gross, unscriptural, spiritually ungodly error. And a great company of evangelical ministers and ministry leaders and the people they lead have turned a blind eye to the obvious and refused to judge rightly, righteously by the scriptures. And a multitude of evangelicals have been leavened with all manner of unscriptural, corrupting, crippling, blinding, injuring, Christ-dishonoring, even Christ-betraying error. Christ, who said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Oh, they'll say, oh, the appearance, look at the crowds. Look at... No, no, you know what that means, judge not according to appearance? It means your first appearance of things, or the appearance according to our own opinion or prejudice or preconceived notion. Either one it can mean. In other words, you first see something. Well, don't immediately say, oh, a big crowd at a crusade. Oh, they're coming forward and so on and so forth. No, no. We're told there, judge righteous judgment. How? By searching out such important matters, understanding the reality and truth of them, and then proving, judging all things by the word of God alone. Billy Graham's ministry career and his falling away from the truth as it is in Jesus that he first professed and then increasingly denied in various ways, it's no coincidence it is mirrored by the new evangelical downgrade in this country and the acceptance of Roman Catholics, no doubt Orthodox, as Christians by a great multitude of evangelicals. I say it's no coincidence. Now, the incredibly influential new evangelical Al Mohler, who is an author, a speaker, a writer of blogs and articles, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and that is the Flagstaff School of the Southern Baptist Association or Convention, in his eulogizing praise of Reverend Billy Graham, said this. And he really said more than he realized. Little does Al Mohler, and he's deeply compromised and corrupted, but I mean, he's just lauded as just this staunch pillar of evangelical truth. But little does he realize the condemning truth of his statement. He said, Graham became one of the singularly most important figures in forging what became known as American evangelicalism. Quite right. But evangelicalism is evangelicalism. It's the gospel believers, the gospel preachers, the gospel people, the gospel church. But there is this new evangelicalism in America. And there's far more of them than there is of us who are evangelical and we trust old-time Protestant. And we strive to be worthy descendants of the Puritans. We know that we have our failings, but this is what we strive to be. Billy Graham was himself indispensable in that movement, the new evangelical movement. He became the founder of many important evangelical institutions, such as Christianity Today. Do you know much about Christianity Today? That publication, it's been called by some Apostasy Today, and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, as well as serving as president of Youth for Christ. Now, Bob Jones, president of Bob Jones University, was originally very close to Graham, appeared on Graham's, he had a television program I can't remember the name of it. Doesn't matter. And Bob Jones was very supportive at the start. And then Graham started this rapid slide. And Bob Jones was one of the few, really, that took a stand. And because of that, he was attacked from all quarters. And you know, he almost lost the college. He almost lost the college because people were pulling their young people out and young people were dropping out. But in what Bob Jones did, he did this. He showed love for not only Christ Jesus and the body of Christ, the lost, but he showed love for Billy Graham's soul. The scriptures are clear. For instance, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but are not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly for good words, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And so there's a point you have to mark and separate, which he did. First, he did as Paul instructs in the, would it be the first epistle to the Thessalonians, that you're to, of course, separate from the brother, warn them and so forth. We won't go to it right now, but still hold them to be a brother and pray for them to repent. But then eventually you just have to mark and utterly separate from them and have nothing to do with them. Well, Bob Jones did what he needed to do to be faithful. Now, I said Billy Graham, it's no coincidence that his falling away is mirrored by the evangelical, new evangelical downgrade. Let me just read to you some words of the current president of BJU, Steve Pettit. Interview on Fox News Channel in South Carolina on the death of Billy Graham. He had nothing but praise for Graham's ministry. There are various excerpts from his short interview posted. I watched them. I transcribed them. Here's what Pettit said. "Obviously, Billy Graham is a world-renowned evangelist. Since I am an evangelist, I'm thankful for his faithful preaching of the gospel. I'm faithful for someone who has preached a clear gospel message and then has sought to live it out in his life, and for his sake, he enters into the glory of heaven." And then he was asked about Graham's legacy. Well, his children are all faithful servants of God. Well, we would have to beg to disagree with that. I don't know all of them, but I do know of three of them in ministry, and we couldn't say that about them. I don't even know how many he had. Five altogether. I think the most important thing is the legacy of a life. The legacy of a life is one in which we all recognize that we need to be consistent in our life now and be faithful to the gospel, be faithful to the Lord to the end of our lives. Now, that's where it's come to. I want to, and you all know, you've heard that message, that sermon by Bob Jones Sr. We watched a video of the downgrade, the evangelical downgrade, and there was Bob Jones Sr. saying that in his own way, if he was in heaven someday and he saw that his school was compromising and sliding into error and going the way that so many are going, well, he'd want to come down and just take some dynamite and blow it all to smithereens, so there'd just be a little bit of over here yonder and a little piece over there yonder. Well, it's come to that. Let me just read to you, if you can bear with me, from this. Various news reports of the funeral. I think they're very revealing, some quotes here. First of all, we have this from a news source. And it was all over the place. It's a message of condolence from Pope Francis regarding Billy Graham given by Cardinal Pietro Parolin. And you get into this Italian names, I'm out of it. Secretary of State of the Vatican State. His Holiness Pope Francis was saddened in heart to learn of the death of the Reverend Billy Graham, and he offers heartfelt condolences to his family, friends, and loved ones. Mindful of his long and dedicated service to the gospel, His Holiness commends Reverend Graham's soul to the merciful love of Almighty God upon all who mourn his passing in the sure hope of the resurrection. Pope Francis invokes the divine blessings of peace and consolation in the Lord Jesus. This is from the Charlotte Observer. The Pope's representative in the United States, Papal Nuncio Christofre Pierre, now that's Papal Nuncio is the ambassador of the Vatican State to this country. Had a, by the way, before I go any further, it was a private funeral. Everyone there was specially invited. Billy Graham planned his funeral in advance. Had a front row seat for the funeral next to Governor Roy Cooper, the Trumps, and Pence's. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of the Archdiocese of New York, who leads the second largest Catholic diocese in the United States, was also scheduled to attend. Now we have press report. I am so honored, this is a quote from Cardinal Dolan, I am so honored that his family would have invited Catholic representation. Billy was a bridge builder. And listen, back in the late 40s and early 50s, to have welcomed Catholics, to embrace them, that wasn't always kind of blessed. He did it well. He sure did, didn't he? He's a bridge builder. Yeah. That's wicked to build those kind of bridges. Christianity Today. As I walked around the room, this is evangelist Greg Laurie speaking. We're not here to try to talk about all these people who are unfaithful, but some of these names will jump out at you. As I walked around the room and saw Brian Houston, Hillsong Church, you know what they are? They're crazy charismatics, and they've come out, some of their ministers, saying, well, homosexuality, that's fine and all. They've got all kinds of error. He was invited. Max Lucado, we've warned of him. Joel Osteen? Does it get any worse? Jack Graham, Robert Jeffries. I thought, who else would have such a broad connection to people like these? Well, you see, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Evangelist Greg Laurie, who was mentored by Graham and models his Harvest America events after his crusade, told CT, it made me think of heaven. It was like a great family reunion. Leaders going on, leaders from Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches joined evangelicals of all stripes under the funeral tent, and we've seen pictures with their big mitres and their crazy hats and all their jewelry and crosses. Up until Billy Graham, people mostly identified as Protestant, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and what happened across America was millions of people said, I believe what Billy Graham believes. Yeah. Leith Anderson, and he's very compromised, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, told CT he was an ecumenical movement of his own. Aren't these revealing quotes? Cardinal Dolan, we have a what do you call them? Is that a tweet? Might be. It's on his verified account. I'm down in Charlotte, North Carolina, with thousands of other people to bid farewell to our beloved Billy Graham. He was there, Cardinal Dolan. Charlotte Observer. Title, here are some of the big names who attended Billy Graham's funeral. President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence weren't the only dignitaries, another big name at the evangelist Billy Graham's funeral. The Pope's representatives of the United States, Papal Nuncio, same name, had a front row seat for the funeral next to, and it's essentially the same quote, it names the same people. Other seats were reserved for former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, Cabinet Member Ben Carson, Senator Tom Tillis, Senator Richard Burr, Representative Robert Pittenger, Representative Alma Adams, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lytles, former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory, Lucy Baines Johnson, and commentator Greta Van Susteren, Panthers owner Jerry Richardson also. I mean, this is a menagerie. I mean, woe to you and all men speak well of you. And it goes on. Other big names at the funeral, these are all invited, I'll just jump to this, include Kathy Lee Gifford, evangelist Jim Baker, he was there with his lovely wife, Steve Futrick, pastor of Elevation Church, country singer Ricky Skaggs, Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University, former New York Yankee Bobby Richardson, pastor Joel Osteen, Texas televangelist Joel Osteen moved through a crowd outside the tent shortly before the service. For Osteen, it was an honor to be present for the celebration of Graham, a man he said was a childhood hero to him and other ministers growing up. So he kind of helped shape Joel Osteen, you see, into the terrible, ungodly teacher he is. He's just a genuine man and just a visionary, a pioneer, Osteen said. 50, 60 years ago, people weren't on television like they are today, ministers, that is, and so he's paved the way for people like myself. That's what means a lot to Joel Osteen. Oh, boy, Billy Graham paved the way so I could be on TV. The Lord Jesus Christ is recorded in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, warned his disciples, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Certainly this applies most of all to ministers of the Word of God. Any minister, any preacher of the Word of God who is well spoken of by all men of all religions, all men, that is all men and women, faithful ministers and followers of Christ accepted, any preacher spoken well of by all men, especially one so well known as Billy Graham, must not have been faithful. Woe unto you is what God says. By all men, we don't, of course, think of every last man, woman, and child, but false converts. And the great majority of men and women of all religions and creeds certainly would be included. And wicked and vile men and women claiming Christ while promoting and advancing all manner of evil. And then the worst evil of all is spiritual and religious lies. Now, I began this two-part message on the ministry of Reverend Billy Graham by speaking somewhat on this. What the Apostle Paul said, speaking for Christ by the Holy Spirit, what he declared of ministers of the gospel. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is enough to make any preacher the word of God, any who ministers the word of God, to tremble. I have many times thought, perhaps I just should have stayed a farmer. It makes you tremble. But thank God, He does not require of us absolute and pure perfection at all times in our preaching, teaching, in our ministry. That is the standard we should seek to conform to, but we being unperfected are not infallible as to all that we say and do, and we thank the Lord that here too when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But what the Lord does require of ministers of the word is that they be faithful. And if they are erring in some way, they find out, no matter how small or not so small a way, or they're deficient in some right understanding of anything with regard to the word of God in their preaching, in their teaching, in their practice, what He does require is that when the Holy Spirit makes clear by the scriptures, perhaps scriptural warnings of others or by the study of the scriptures by the man, when the Holy Spirit does make clear, actually it's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it, by the Holy Spirit with the word, what He does require and what every true minister of the Lord, called of the Lord, will do is that that man set straight whatever is out of conformity with the word of the Lord in his preaching or in his ministry practice. He does require that. He requires faithfulness, and if such a man will not do so, he is found to be an unfaithful minister of the word, not a true minister of Christ, and the Lord's people must, in all faithfulness, for their own sake, their own safety, their own obedience, have nothing to do with him. Remember, and they will, because remember, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I don't know them, and they follow me. Now, I've set forth the well-documented evidence that Reverend Billy Graham is not found by the Word of God to be a faithful steward of the Word of God, nor then is he found by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a faithful steward of the Word of God. Rather, Mr. Graham, let it be plainly said, left this world as a deceiver of multitudes, a spiritual adulterer, a corrupter of the Lord's blood-bought church, and he left this world with the blood of millions of souls on his hands. Would to God there would have been more Bob Jones when Billy Graham began his downslide. I haven't said this, what I've said, with any pleasure, but it is a mournful truth which is established by the ministry and the words of Mr. Graham, judged by the scriptures, the word of God, the supreme authority by which all doctrine and practice must be judged. To those who can have the plain facts presented, the scriptures applied, and still deny the truth as it is in Jesus and still defend the ministry, the preaching of Billy Graham, we say, oh, foolish new evangelicals, who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Amen.